All right, I'm going to get started. So today's class is a bonus class that you're getting as part of our women's group coaching program. And this is kind of, you know, this wasn't necessarily a class that was in the key kind of coursework of what I wanted to teach you through this program. But as I began working with and meeting those of you who are going to be joining the program, I, you know, began to see that this theme of relationship was going to be a big one for the women in this group. And so I wanted to run a bonus class on this. I haven't really taught much about relationship before. So this is exciting for me to be able to dive into some new content. And, let me just get my screen back. Hang on a moment. How do I spotlight myself? pin video. There we go. Hi, Stefania. How are you?
Good. Sorry, I'm in from my phone today because for some reason, Zoom's like having me do this update on my computer that wasn't working.
No worries, no worries. I think you're the only one here with me live today, so I'm just getting started on the class. I'm just going to run through it. And if at any point, we'll see if anyone else joins or if at any point you have questions, you can let me know, but I'm just going to dive into all our content and run the
class. All right, sounds good.
Beautiful, nice to see you. Okay, beautiful, that is still pinned. So I was saying that... This is a bonus add-on class to all of the work that we've been doing. And everyone who is in the program at the moment is in a different place around relationships. Either you're in a place of wanting to call in a relationship, you're in a place where relationship maybe isn't a priority for you at the moment because you're working on your business and your dreams. You might be in a place where you're already in a relationship. So I'm aware we're going to have people in all different places. And I wanted to run this class and just cover off a few different things around relationships based on, you know, that will appeal to you wherever you're at, and take from this class what resonates with you, leave what doesn't. This might be a class that right now you're like, you know, this is irrelevant for me, but you might come and revisit this class 3 months from now and be like, oh my gosh, now this content is so perfect for what I need. So I just wanted to run this class so that you have it, and then you can always come and revisit this and work through these principles when they feel, you know, applicable to where you're at and what you're wanting and what you're looking for in your life at any given time. And also what phase of relationship you're in, whether in the single phase or in the early dating phase or in the committed phase, because we're all moving through different phases at different times. So the first part of the class, I'm going to start off just talking a little bit about the period of being single, because that's definitely one element. I know several of the women in this program are not in a relationship and are interested in calling in one. So we're going to talk about that, the elements, the single element and the calling in of a partner, clarifying what you want, navigating the early days of dating. And then I want to talk to you sort of for the second half about just a lot of principles that I have over the past 18 months of being in this relationship that I'm in. I've learned so much around what really helps create this beautiful, deep intimacy between the masculine and feminine, and where a woman can really receive what she's most craving, and where you can create a relationship where you're really in your feminine if you're wanting a masculine partner, depending on, you know, what you're wanting to call in. But if you are, I'm talking through the language of a heterosexual relationship at the moment, but if you're wanting to call in a masculine partner, and then to be able to create that dynamic where you have you and your beautiful feminine and your partner and your masculine, and it's just so nourishing. And I'm going to talk a little bit about things like how to navigate challenges and conflicts, understanding the mirror in relationships and how to work through when you get triggered, a bit about vulnerability. So I just want to dive into all of that. And like I said, you might just find this really interesting, or you might be able to take little bits and pieces based on where you're at. So first of all, just starting out, you know, one of the things that I think I shared, you know, my journey of relationship, I was single for about 6 years, and single doesn't mean I wasn't dating or seeing anyone, but I wasn't in a solid committed relationship. So my last relationship had ended, it was probably a good 6 years ago. And then I'd had a couple of like 3 month little relationships. And then I'd had a lot of periods of just sort of being single and dating and trying to connect with men. But honestly, all the people I were calling in were almost a reflection of my wounding, and were almost people that kept coming in just to show me what I had to work on in myself versus being real legitimate possible partners for me. And when I was single, and this is something to be aware of, I would meet these people and I'd have these intense magnetic connections with them and incredible sexual chemistry. And we'd have this passionate sort of love affair. And then, you know, you'd realize the relationship didn't have actually some of the key things that needed to be there long term, whether it was, you know, consistency from that person, or their desire to be in a relationship, or emotional availability, or the maturity to hold me in my fullness. Or, you know, I dated guys that weren't very good communicators and could never really tell me what they wanted and what they were feeling. And so there was always these missing elements. And sometimes when we're single, we can meet people and have these incredible connections, but it doesn't mean they're actually the right partner for us. Sometimes that firework connection, I remember hearing about this a lot when I was single, is actually almost like a adrenaline rush. And it's actually... what's the wording for it? Sometimes it's almost like it's a bit of an addictive rush, and it's like your inner child. How am I trying to articulate this? So it's almost like feeding a pattern that's a fear-based pattern in you that has come from childhood, but you're sort of addicted to it. Like the adrenaline rush of a guy that's kind of unavailable, and one minute he's here and he's giving you this attention, you feel incredible, and then he takes his attention away and then you're feeling starved and you're waiting for it again. I was often on that roller coaster, and I thought all that intensity of emotion that I was feeling was attraction, but it was actually kind of just adrenaline and fear, and without me knowing, and my wounding getting activated and me getting hungry for the next hit, right? And so that I had to become aware of a lot of that. So during the time that I was single, I began to just pay a lot of attention to what I was manifesting with men, what I was calling in, and what I could learn about myself as a result of what I was manifesting. And any period that you are single, you're never not in a relationship. You're just in a relationship with yourself. So you're always in a relationship, and you're always in a relationship with yourself, but it just means if you're not in a relationship with someone else, that period of time is your opportunity to focus on your relationship with yourself. And I remember thinking, there used to be periods when I was single where I'd find it really hard just to be alone and be with myself. And I remember thinking, if I can't enjoy my own company, how can I expect someone else to enjoy my own company? And I remember thinking as well, you know, one of the things that makes me know I'm in love with someone is where I just want to be around them. I just want to be around them all the time. It doesn't matter what we're doing. It doesn't matter if we're just watching TV. I just want to be around them. And then I remember thinking, am I like that with myself? Do I just want to be with me? Am I the type of person that someone would just want to be with all the time? And so I really worked on becoming the person that in my own relationship with myself, I wanted to be in a partnership with someone else, and really looking at all these things that I think I would have got with that other person. Am I experiencing that within myself, in my own relationship with myself? So anytime you are not in a relationship with another, it's a beautiful opportunity to look at your relationship with yourself. And if you are someone that's wanting to call in a relationship and you're bumping up against those feelings of doubt and loneliness and frustration, which I completely relate to, I think, and I probably talked about this before, but it's so important that even if it's uncomfortable to want something so much, when you have no proof or evidence that it's going to come, keep owning that desire and keep feeling the fullness of how much you desire it. Not from a place of like, I need this and I want this and I'm incomplete without it, but I am so excited for this and I'm so ready for this and my heart desires this so much. And sometimes I found it a really vulnerable feeling to sit in the depth of my desire for love and have no idea of when it was going to come. But sometimes what I see people do, and I did this too, is because we can't see that it's going to come, we try to talk ourselves out of how much we want it. Oh, no, I'm fine by myself. Like, I don't really need it. I don't really want it. I'm fine. And that, to me, kept diluting my desire. So even if you have no idea when it's coming, don't ever cut off from the depth of how much you just are desiring it right now. And usually when doubt comes up, it's because we are focusing more on what we see with our eyes externally rather than on our inner vision. So a lot of us, you know, have this model of I'll believe it when I see it. It's hard for us to really believe in something until we have proof or evidence with our eyes that it's coming. And if we can't see that, we'll probably doubt that what we want is possible. And so it's a real time to stay so connected to your inner vision, regardless of whether there's any external proof that it's coming. And to just keep holding that desire and doing all your inner manifestation work and all your preparation work and trusting the timing of it. If at times you feel lonely, it's so okay. I think, you know, as women, we're wired for connection and we've got to never make ourselves wrong for feeling lonely. It's a very natural part of when you desire connection and it's not here. But just look at ways that you can support yourself through your loneliness. When that's coming up for you, you know, go back to those questions. How am I feeling and what do I need? And is there a way to support yourself to feel more connected in that moment, either more connected to yourself or to reach out to a friend or a family member or to experience that connection in another way? But never make yourself wrong if you're feeling lonely, if you're feeling vulnerable because you want this love and relationship so much. And remember, the doubt piece only arises when we're getting where we feel like we can only believe in it when we have proof and evidence, and we don't have the proof and evidence yet. So that's a reminder to come back in and keep tending to your inner vision and finding belief and certainty and knowing within yourself rather than needing external indicators that it's going to happen, because you may not get that. So if you are wanting to call in a partner, if that's where you're at the moment, a few things that you can kind of be doing to help you clarify what you're desiring and wanting and needing in a partner. This is such an interesting thing because, you know, I read all the articles of like how to call in the one, and I actually bought books. I think I bought a book called Calling in the One. I bought a book called The Soulmate Secret, just all of the books. And, you know, we all know from manifestation perspective, and all the books say it, write out what you want in partner, write your list. And I've heard a lot of women say they wrote a list and they got exactly what was on their list and it blew them away. And I think that's a beautiful thing to do, and I would encourage you to do that. From my experience, there was things on my list that didn't manifest, but it's been really interesting to one, watch how our relationship has actually evolved into that rather than that being there at the get-go, and also how there's been things that I didn't even know that I wanted. And that's sometimes where I feel like the list can be a little bit limiting. And it's totally up to you how you want to do it. Like, if you're very, very clear what's important to you, write out a list and visualize that and feel into that and get clear on that. I definitely think we need non-negotiables. And I would encourage you to identify what are your non-negotiables of what you want to call in. Like, what will you need to see in this person for you to know that you want to move ahead with it? Now, you can go as superficial as you want, although I wouldn't recommend it. But, you know, sometimes people focus on things like their financial security and what his career is and what his family's like and all those things. And I definitely got swept up in thinking about that type of stuff. But I would look at it more from, how do you want to feel with this person? What are the values, you know, that are important to you that you also want this person to have? What is most important to you? Is it their mindset? Is it their emotional availability? Is it how they treat you? Is it how they make you feel? Is it that they see you and really honor who you are uniquely as a person? Is it, yeah, they can provide for you financially? Is it that they are like-minded and you can have like-minded conversations? You know, some of my non-negotiables early on were just quite simply, I think I've said this before, but integrity and consistency. And like a commitment to be willing to get to know me on an ongoing basis. Because I had a lot of men that were always just coming in and out and tapping into me when they pleased. But I felt, no, for me to move forward with someone, I needed to see that person was committed to getting to know me consistently. They were scheduling in consistent dates. They were following up. There was a momentum building with us, not stop, start, pull away, come back. I wanted consistency. I wanted to see that that person was open to exploring something deeper with me, not just something physical. And I needed integrity. I needed that if a guy said, I will call you on Wednesday night, or let's have a date on Saturday night, or let's come over and I'll come over and I'll cook you dinner this night, that they followed up, that they honored their word. I'll be there at 7 o'clock. I needed a guy that honored his word. It was so important to me. And I think they were my beginning points. They were pretty basic for me to be willing to open up to date someone. That was just what I needed. And then a few of my other things were humor. I need to be able to laugh with a partner, someone who was open-minded enough to embrace me and my work and even have the level of consciousness to talk to me, you know, have these types of conversations with me. And a level of depth. And, you know, I think that was kind of where I started. I had my list, but I just knew that for me to move forward with a guy, that was the non-negotiable stuff. And so I think really clarify what's most important to you. And this might seem like, and also, sorry, as a woman in the feminine, really think about what you want in his masculine. What would feel really nourishing for you to receive in terms of masculine energy? Is it solidness? Is it security? Is it stability? Is it presence? Is it leadership? Is it his ability to make decisions? That was actually another thing I think that was really important to me. I wanted to see how a guy led the relationship, because I had dated guys who didn't have very good leadership, in that they just weren't really leading me anywhere. And it was important to me to see that a guy had strong leadership in his ability to make commitments and plans with me, to make decisions, to tell me what we were going to do, to tell me when we were going to do it. I really wanted to be able to surrender and flow and trust the masculine. And so I needed to see that in the early days. And you know, this is a really simple but important conversation. And even if you're in a relationship now, I would encourage you to have this conversation with your partner. So we only had this conversation a few months ago, and it was really quite profound for us. We asked each other the question, what is most important to you in a relationship? And you could even ask this to someone when you first start dating them. And that might sound like a really obvious question, but we actually answered this. We gave each other three things each that are most important to us in a relationship. And after we had the conversation, we're like, oh, well, this is really obvious why we're together, because all the things that were important to him, I was sort of providing, and then all the things that were important to me, he was providing. But I mentioned my first one was integrity. And he's like, wow, that really surprises me. He's like, I didn't know that. He's like, I knew that it was important to you, but I didn't know it was your number one. And for us to have that conversation and really understand what was most important to the other person. So mine was integrity was my first one. My second one was someone who was completely wholeheartedly accepting of me, like let me be all of me and never judged me, but fully loved and allowed me to be the fullness of who I am. And my third one was communication, someone who can communicate with depth, someone who has the emotional intelligence to have emotional conversations, someone who can work through conflict with me effectively. And Jason's all of those things, and all of the three things he mentioned, I'm all of them for him. So That was a really powerful conversation for us, and something that I think is really important to do, to either clarify with yourself or to talk to your partner or potential partner about. If you're in the phase of navigating early days of dating and meeting someone new, like I said, get really clear on your non-negotiables, so that, you know, for me, for example, with Jason, if he had... I wasn't really sure in the early days about the relationship and whether it was right for me, but he had so much consistency and such good leadership of our relationship and really good integrity that made me feel really safe with him. He was consistent every week. He would make plans with me. This is in the very early days. Every week he'd schedule in, you know, the next date. I always knew when I was going to see him next. He would touch base with me like regularly. he wasn't just trying to, you know, schedule in time to come and sleep with me. He was wanting to do things with me. He was wanting to talk to me a lot and get to know me. And every time he said, you know, we're going to hang out this time, we'll do this, he would do it. And I remember just feeling really like so nourished by that, because I've been so dicked around by men. And I was like, you know what, maybe this guy doesn't have all the elements of what I'm looking for, but I'm really impressed by how he's showing up with me. And so I'm going to keep going with this. I'm going to give him a go. And one of the things I really had to practice, and every relationship is different, but I really had to let the early days be very lighthearted. And that was difficult. I sometimes used to go into dating very serious, and I'd sit down on a date and I'd be like, is this my soulmate? Is this my guy? Could this be my husband? Could this be the father of my children? And I kind of made it real serious really early. And with Jason, there was a very playful element to our relationship. For the first like 3 months, it was just very playful. Very light, no serious conversations, no expectations. I didn't put any pressure on him around anything. I knew that he was a very masculine man that liked to be in control, liked to lead, liked to initiate, liked to make decisions. And I knew that if I tried to come in and play that role and take control of our relationship, it wouldn't work. So that was difficult. I had to really trust him. I had to be very just easygoing in the early days, which isn't the approach for everyone, but that worked for me in this particular relationship. I sensed with him, he's a very freedom-driven person. And we've actually already had this conversation in the, when I first met him, he wasn't looking for a girlfriend at all. He wasn't one of those guys that's like, oh, I'm ready to meet my woman. Very, very far from, very far from. And the fact that we're actually living together at the moment literally blows my mind. And I even said this to him. I'm like, a year ago, there's no way you would have thought you'd be living with me. And he's like, no way. He wasn't looking for a relationship. And I knew that about him. So I had to kind of just be lighthearted and easygoing in the early days so that it gave him the freedom to choose what he wanted and to feel like if we were making deeper commitments, it was his choice. Now, every man's different, but allowing a man to feel like he is leading and he is making the decisions around the pace of the relationship, the level of commitment is... I found that worked really well for me. Now, of course, I had my own needs and things that were going on for me that were really difficult to navigate because I wanted certainty. I wanted to know where we were at. I wanted to know where we were going. And it was a difficult balance for me because I didn't want to rush those conversations because I knew it wouldn't work for him, but I also had to honor how I felt. So I attempted to express it more just as I was feeling certain things, I would express it versus sitting down and being like, right, so what are we? Are we boyfriend, girlfriend? Yeah, what's happening with us? What's going on with us? And that allowed our relationship to blossom in a very natural way and actually become very committed in a natural way. Every relationship's different, but it is also something I've heard from talking to masculine friends, my male friends, that in the first few months, they're like, just let it be fun. You know, some of those women would come and make it serious real quick. They're like, just let it be fun. If he has fun with you, he'll want to spend more time with you. If it feels good to be around you, he'll want more of you. He'll want you just to himself. He'll want to commit to you. And I think sometimes, yeah, we've just got to be mindful of that energy we're bringing, but not denying, you know, what we're needing. And if at different points things are coming up that don't feel good, we also can be fully, you know, expressing that. I think also in the early days, watch out for any, you know, if you're in the early days of dating, watch out for those stories that come in of like, there's no good men out there. I've been swiping on the apps, I've been meeting men, and there's no one out there that is good or that I like or that I'm into. And understand what you focus on expands. What you focus on is what you're going to manifest. And it's such a trap we fall into as women is we'll go on a date and then all we'll focus on is what we don't like about the person. I didn't like this. He's not this. If every time you go on a date, or even if you're single and you're not wanting to date, but you're just wanting to explore your dynamic with the masculine, every interaction with the masculine is a beautiful opportunity to explore your feminine. And even if you're going on dates, like just sit with men and just get curious and just enjoy the dance of masculine, feminine energy. Notice when you're in the presence of a man, what does it activate in your feminine? Does it make you giggly and playful? Does it make you feel calm? Does his presence make you feel seen? Does his presence make you feel beautiful? Every masculine will bring a different energy and it will activate something different in your feminine. And so the early days of dating are just such a fun time to explore that. So let it be fun. And to walk away from every experience with the masculine and reflect on where he was a match to what you're wanting. Not where he wasn't, but where he was. Okay, so he may not have had everything, but what was great about him, or where is he a match to what I want? Okay, well, he had great leadership. He planned the date. He told me where to be. He told me what time to be there, and that felt so good to me. Or he was really like conscious, and we had some really great conversations, and he was totally on my level. So we've got to put in the early days, put your focus on telling the story of I'm meeting so many great men. Oh, this man had this quality that I'm wanting. Look, there's guys out there like this, because otherwise we fall into the narrative of there's no good men out there. And that actually really completely messes up our vibration. And it's almost like the more that you tell that story, yeah, the more you'll manifest that and see that. Okay, so as you're coming into relationship with the masculine, in any dynamic, whether you're currently in a relationship or whether you're dating and calling in someone, I want to talk a little bit about how, as a woman, we can be playing with our feminine energy and using our energy to evoke what we are wanting and needing from the masculine. So there's a big thing like I'm exploring is there's a few different ways we can go about kind of receiving what it is that we want. We can absolutely use our voice and ask for it, and we'll talk about that. Or we can use our energy to kind of evoke it. This is the language that John Wineland uses a lot. You evoke it, like you call it out in your partner. Because when you understand energetic dynamics, you understand the more you go into your feminine, the more you're going to push your partner energetically into the masculine. So when you've got two energies that are very similar, say you've got, you know, you and your partner are both showing up in your masculine because you've both been working all day, or you and your partner are both in your feminine because you're just both feeling big things, then your energies are similar and they're kind of neutral. And when you have neutral energy, you don't have much polarity, you don't have much contrast. You don't have much difference. It's more similarity. And that's when you'll usually have, you won't have huge amounts of sexual chemistry. So, you know, when you meet, this has actually happened to me when I was dating, I'd meet a lot of like-minded men, very similar to me, but there was no attraction because there was no difference. We were so similar, right? So you need difference in some way to have attraction. And so the more that you pull into your feminine, the more you'll push him into his masculine. Then you get this beautiful contrast of energies. And that's when you get this delicious, like, attraction, chemistry going on. And so I find sometimes if I ever feel us falling into the neutral space, I will work on my energy to pull myself more into my feminine, and that will evoke more of his masculine. And as women, like we, if you're interested in men, we want that masculine energy. That's nourishing for us. And they want our feminine. That's nourishing for them. So I've worked a lot with, if there's something I'm wanting or needing from my partner, I've played a lot, and I see this as play, with what can I do with my body? What can I do with my energy to activate that in him versus asking for it? So say I'm craving affection. I could come to him, and sometimes I do. Can I have a cuddle? Like, sometimes I'll just do that. And that's a request. Or sometimes that's actually you coming more into the masculine role because you're kind of initiating something. If I want to really do it from a feminine perspective, and I've learned all of this from watching John Wineland, is he talks a lot about coming into the body and activating the feminine through your body. Particularly, he talks about activating the qualities of pleasure. using breath, using maybe a little bit of movement, a little bit of sound, feeling into your body and activating qualities. Maybe it's like some softness, maybe it's a little feeling of like just the pleasure of your own body, maybe it's a bit of tenderness, maybe it's desire. And I've done this enough times that I know hands down it works, because the more that you turn on your feminine, like the masculine can't resist that. And so sometimes I'll just sit on the couch and I'll just be doing this stuff and I might just sort of sigh a little bit and like play with my hair and then lick my lips and just kind of like, I don't know, maybe just gently stroke my arm and just deepen my breathing, breathe into my heart, breathe into my yoni, breathe into my throat, and just like gently just be coming into my body and just be like swaying a little bit. So a little bit of movement is the feminine, that kind of that softer movement. A number of times, and this isn't, I don't do it in a very overt way, I do it in quite a subtle way. Sometimes I'll just notice if I'm sitting, say watching TV, am I sitting in quite a rigid masculine way? Am I in my head thinking, just sort of sitting on the couch? If so, I'll be like, hey Connie, just open and soften, open up your body, come into your hips, breathe, maybe make a little sigh, just play with your hair a little bit. And all of a sudden he's like, cuddle? He'll just come to me and he'll like want to pull me towards him. The number of times I've done this, like, it just blows me away how like the masculine just has like a radar for that really beautiful feminine energy. And it's a way that I have help like evoke from him what I need. Or if another thing John Wineland talks about is sacred helplessness. And this is difficult for us strong independent women, but this sort of helplessness when a woman doesn't know and she needs her man to come in and be her hero, her king, to come in and make a decision, to make a plan, to solve the problem. And sometimes I just play in that space just because it's fun. And I'll be like, oh, babe, I don't know what to do. Like, this has happened. I don't know what to do. And he'll get to come in and kind of be my hero and be right, like, right, let's figure this out and let's do this. Or I'll be like, oh, babe, the light blew. Oh, what are we going to do? And, I mean, I could get up there and fix the light. But I play these roles sometimes because it allows me just to drop into the soft, helpless feminine and allows him to rise to kind of be my hero and my king. And these might sound like silly things, but they activate this incredible polarity in our relationship. And, you know, you want to, if you really want to evoke the best from your partner, and this isn't about in any way being minimizing yourself, but actually allowing, like, work with that energy of like him being your king, him being your hero. And even if you can use that language, oh, you're my hero, that like strokes their ego. Like, they love that stuff. And this doesn't take away from me being a very intelligent, independent, self-sufficient woman, but allows me to call out that archetype in him that is so delicious as a woman to have, like, your strong, heroic masculine coming to rescue you, you know? So I just play in this space. And sometimes I'll even say to him, like, that's right, I remember this one time we were out, it was Valentine's Day, and we'd sit at this little picnic in the park and these travelers came and sat, like, literally right behind us. And there was so much area in the park and they sat right behind us with their boombox, like, going. And I was just like, oh, my God, I can't believe out of all the places in the park, like, you came and sat here. And I was really distressed and I wasn't even trying to evoke anything from him. I was just kind of like, oh, like, this is so distressing. And he leaned over and he said to them, hey guys, do you mind moving? Like, we're trying to have a bit of a lunch here. We were here first. Can you move on? And in that moment, like, oh my God, my feminine was just like, oh, like, you're my hero. Like, he stood up, he took action, he took charge of the situation, he asked them to leave, then he alleviated my discomfort. And I was just like, oh my God, babe, that was amazing. Like, you're my hero. Thank you. Like, that made me, I feel so much happier now. And I could see, you know, they puff up a little bit. I could see him kind of be like, yeah, you know, I rescued her from that horrible situation. So these little things. The other thing, you know, is give your man an opportunity to make decisions, to be in the leadership role, to be in control, to take charge and allow yourself to surrender. So sometimes, I had perhaps to be really mindful of whenever we are making plans together for me to step out of the leadership role and to step back and allow him to make plans and make decisions. And if sometimes even if he's made a decision or a plan that isn't 100% what I want, I still really acknowledge it. So the masculine likes to be acknowledged and respected for their ideas and their decisions and their plans. And that was the big thing I've worked with in the early days, is just kind of like celebrating his leadership. So rather than criticizing it, no, I don't want to do that, that was a bad idea, or this was a silly restaurant to pick, why did you pick this? Because women love to nitpick at men. Instead, just really validating it, like, oh babe, this was a great choice, this place is amazing, I love it here, it makes me so happy to be here, I'm so glad you picked this place, for example. Or like, he's like, let's have pizza for dinner, I'm like, oh my god, yay, I'd love pizza, that'd be amazing. Like actually really validating every time they step into that leadership role. For me, it's just, yeah, I hope this doesn't sound like I'm being ditzy, because I'm not a ditzy woman, but it's just really allowed him to rise into, yeah, the role I want him to play in our relationship. And the other thing I've had to do, quite honestly, is in my relationship, I pretty much have to be the exact opposite of how I am in my business. I cannot bring business Connie to my relationship. So business Connie is, I am the leader. I make decisions. I'm in control. I am the guide here. I take action. I strategize. I plan. But I do not want to be that person in my relationship at all. So I've had to learn how to almost be like, be one person in my business, and then I can't bring any of who I am in my business to my relationship. And I tried that in the early days. Like I'd very often get into very intellectual debates with him and have to talk about who's more successful and how much money we were making. And I was like, oh my God, I'm emasculating him constantly. And I'm not saying you can't be who you want to be. It just depends on what you want to evoke in your partner. And I wanted to make him feel really masculine because that makes me feel really feminine. And I had to look at all the little ways I would emasculate him. And I would try to make myself out to be better than him and smarter than him and more emotionally intelligent than him and better at making decisions than him. Like, you got to look at all these little ways without even realizing you can chip away at them and question their decision. Even like, this is a really hard one for me, but I always... You know when you feel like you can do it better than how they're doing it? So like sometimes Jason will go and cook dinner and I'll sit there and I'll be watching the way he's doing it. And in my head, I'm like, you're cutting the potatoes wrong and you put way too much oil on that. And you got the oven at the wrong temperature. And I so just want to go in there and like, babe, you didn't clean up properly. And I'm learning how to just step back and let him do it his way. And then acknowledge the fuck out of him and be like, oh my God, those chips are amazing. You made them so well. Thank you. This is incredible. Thank you for making dinner for me. Like he made me pancakes, you know, on my birthday, and I don't really eat pancakes, but I was just like, oh babe. And I just went on and on about how amazing it was, you know, he just gets a little ego boost out of that. So yeah, not nitpicking and criticizing and acting like you can do it better and acting like you are better, because then you're going to get to be the dude in the relationship and that's not what you want. And the other thing that I've learned a lot is to be expressing my desires and wants and needs in the relationship more from a place of like expressing a desire versus a demand. Like, I need you to do this. You're not doing enough of that. Can you show up more like this? Or like, can you do this for me? Can you just take the bins down? Like, they're all demands. Versus when I can reveal from a place of like, I'd love more support from you. I just feel like I'm doing a lot around the house and I'd love more of your support. And so when I say, like, I'd love more of your support, that gives him an opportunity to step in and kind of make a plan, because men love making a plan. All right, so what would more support of you look like? Do you want me to help get the groceries? Do you want me to take the bins down? It gives him space to step in and solve the problem. So don't tell them what you need them to do to solve the problem. You give them the problem, you give them what you're feeling, and you allow them to step in and be the problem solver and be, again, the hero. So if you're like, I'm just feeling really overwhelmed, like, it's just, I feel like I need more support, they then, yeah, get to come in and solve that problem for you, and then they feel like a hero. Anytime they solve a problem for you, they feel like a hero. Understanding the mirror in relationships, I want to talk about now. I'm just going to chow through all this content and then see if there's any questions at the end, but I just want to, like, get all this out because I'm just really in a flow around it. So you may, if you're calling in a partner or in your existing relationship, be in a relationship where there's a lot of triggering going on and where there's mirroring going on. This can happen not just in romantic relationships. This can happen in a friendship. This can happen in work, all different places. But I want you to imagine it like, you know, when you look in a mirror and you see your reflection, okay? So you see your reflection looking back at you. That's what it's like when your partner's mirroring something back to you. It's like they're a mirror standing in front of you, helping to show you something about yourself that you can't see. And it's really, really hard when this happens. And when we get triggered, so when a big emotion arises or someone pushes our button, it's really easy to just blame that person and be like, you made me feel this way and this is uncomfortable and I don't like it and you need to stop that, versus breathing into what has got triggered within us and feeling into it and facing it and being like, if this person is acting in a certain way, so we're looking like, and we're looking in the mirror and we're seeing them act a certain way in the reflection, what is this helping me to see about myself? What do I need to see about myself here? I'm trying to think if I can come up with an example. I mean, I have this going on in my relationship constantly. So a way this might play out is sometimes even the way Jason talks to me is the way that I talk to myself, but I don't want to own that that's the way that I talk to myself. Or it's like he's showing me something that I know, but I don't want to face. Like, what's an example? Oh my God, there's so many things. Let me just get through a bit more of the content and I'll see if any examples come up because I've got them constantly. But you know, when someone in our life triggers something, they're helping, yeah, there's something within us that needs to be resolved. And so one of the most important things that we can do is look within rather than look outside of ourselves. Okay, so an example, this is an exact mirroring, but just an example of how Jason would trigger me. So since we've been living together, I'm feeling less free in my expression. I've been finding it hard to get on Insta story or do my lives and teach my classes because he's around all the time, right? And I felt a little bit suffocated. And I would often come to him and say, I feel suffocated. And it's very easy for me to blame him and be like, the reason I feel suffocated and stuck in my self-expression is because you're here, right? And that's maybe true, but I looked more at it in myself and I was like, oh, this is actually just illuminating to me my expression blocks. This is actually just showing me the places where I am actually suffocating myself by not fully expressing myself, where I am making an excuse, saying why it's too hard, saying why I can't do it, saying why I'm not free. And so although he was playing that role, it was something for me to look at. Almost as though the role he was playing for me, I was like, where do I do that to myself? Yeah. Even any time that he is hard on me or says something to me, often I'm like, oh, that also sounds like how I talk to myself. So he's almost like mirroring back the way that I often am with me. And so when we clean up what's going on in our relationship with ourselves, then we clean up the mirror and that person doesn't continue to play that role for us. Like I have, since I've really come into feminine work, I've focused so much on feminine that sometimes I'm not stepping enough into my masculine to really create results in my business. And he brings that to my attention all the time, and it makes me really angry because I know it. I know it. And it's almost like something I'm not facing in myself, of the work I need to do now to reintegrate my inner masculine and feminine so that I can create some big results in my business. And he says it to me all the time. He's like, you're so in your feminine. He's like, but what have you done this week? Like, what actions did you take? And you said you were going to do a live and you didn't do one. And I'm like, you're being so hard on me. But that's actually often how I talk to myself. I'm like, Connie, why didn't you show up this week? Why aren't you expressing yourself? And so it's an opportunity for me to look at, okay, there's some work I have to do here to come tap into my masculine more, to really show up for what I'm here to do in the world. So there's always an opportunity to look at something within yourself. And I think I said this before too, in one of our classes, if you're manifesting a masculine that doesn't believe in you and your big dreams, if you're manifesting a masculine that is inconsistent, if you're manifesting a masculine that isn't in integrity, if you're manifesting a masculine that isn't comfortable with female emotion, where are you all of that? Where are you maybe not in integrity? Where are you judging still your feminine emotion? Where are you not supporting your big dreams? Where are you, you know, even when I couldn't seem to get a guy to commit to me, I think I talked about this before, I had to look at where the places where I was avoiding commitment in my life. So you can see the way they show up for you, and then you can look at yourself and be like, okay, where am I at? What do I need to learn about myself based on how they're showing up? And when I clean that up in myself, they're going to stop acting like that. Yeah, I even had to work through, I even had a lot of lessons come up around my self-worth in the early days, where he would act in certain ways and I wouldn't call him out on it. Like, I wouldn't be like, hey, that's not okay for me. And so he kept acting that way. And it wasn't until I really honored my worth and I stood up for myself and I had some conversations where I was like, hey, that thing you do is not okay for me. It really hurts my feelings. It leaves me feeling really disrespected or insignificant or like I can't trust you. And it wasn't until I had the courage to stand up for myself, I set a new standard of what I deserve to receive, and then he rose to that standard. But, you know, we teach people how to treat us. We've said that before. So until I was willing to really own my worth and communicate what I needed and deserved, he wasn't rising to that standard. And sometimes you'll set that standard and people can't meet it and they'll fall away. Other times they rise and your relationship goes to the next level. So if you're getting triggered, and this kind of leads me into conflict, I'll just quickly go into that point. Like, if you've got challenges and conflict coming up with someone, if you're getting triggered, it's really important that if you can step away, you can't always do it. Sometimes in the moment, like Jason's the type of guy, he wants to resolve conflict then and there, the minute that it happens. And sometimes I'm like, I'm way too emotionally charged and triggered to have a conversation. And so it's been really, really hard now that we're living together, but I'm often having to say to him, I can't talk to you about this now. You just need to give me some time and then we'll come together and we'll talk about it. But please just let me be alone for a little bit. And so when I get really triggered, I've had to create that container for myself to feel and process my emotion. And as I drop through my emotion, it clarifies for me what is actually it really about. This happened for us just the other night. I lost my shit at him and I was so upset and he wouldn't leave me alone because he just wanted to talk about it. And I was like, I can't talk to you about it right now. And so I had to ask him, you need to give me space. And then I came out of the bath and I came into the bedroom and I was like, okay, do you want to come in and talk now? And then I invited him in to come and talk with me and I was calm and I was ready and we had a great conversation. But I think, you know, as I said in our last class, if you're at a 10 emotionally, do what you can to bring yourself down to a 5. Your emotion might still be present, but can you communicate from a place of more neutrality around what's going on as you're wanting to resolve that conflict and actually have a chance to own what's going on in you rather than going to blame. And so that works really well for us when we come together to talk about something. I'll often start with just owning it. I'm like, look, I've realized I'm feeling like this. This is because, you know, I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm feeling afraid at the moment. And I can see that the things that you're doing are just triggering that in me and amplifying that in me. And so these conversations always work best when you start with owning your part in it, owning what you're feeling, speaking from a place of what your experience has been, how you feel, what's going on for you. Just from my experience, they never work as well when you try to lead into the conversation of you're doing this, you're doing that, you're doing that. But, you know, I always start with, look, what just happened, you know, brought up something in me. I realize this is what it's about for me. It makes me feel like this. This is how I'm feeling. And I'm just, you know, I'm doing my best to work through it. And I realize I'm taking it out on you and I'm sorry for that. But, you know, when you do this, this, and this, it triggers it more and it makes it harder for me. So I just want you to be aware of that. And those types of conversations, I find him and I can just work through things in such a conscious level. And also doing your best to always see the other person's perspective too. So we'll often talk from a place of, I often say this to him, I'm like, look, I understand you're really trying to help me. I know that your intention is to help me. But sometimes the way that you're helping me, it's not what I'm needing, and this is how I need to be helped. So something he'll often do is he's doing his NLP training at the moment, so often he's kind of wanting to coach me, and I get really angry. When I'm just feeling an emotion and I just want to be held and nurtured through that, I don't want to be coached. And so I had to express to him the other day, I was like, look, when I'm feeling like this, there's two ways that you can help me. I know you want to help me, but there's two ways that you can help me. You can help me by kind of being my coach and trying to problem solve, or you can help me by just being my boyfriend and loving me and giving me a hug. And I'm like, 9 times out of 10, the thing that helps me the most is you just being my boyfriend. And I also requested something from him that time that we had a conflict. I was like, look, I've identified what I'm needing. I think I'm craving some intimacy with you. Can I ask for that? Can I ask for some time for that today? And, you know, this is so masculine. He's like, okay, let's make a time. What time are we going to, let's do that this afternoon and let's make a time for it. And that might sound really rigid, but it's actually a beautiful thing for the feminine when the masculine is in control of time and space. When he actually says, I hear your desire and I'm going to make time for that for you today. And he created this really beautiful container of time. And it was really good leadership by him of just like, okay, I've heard what she needs. I expressed what I was needing from him. I actually said to him, this is maybe a bit TMI, but I was like, I'm needing you to give to me. I'm like, I'm just feeling like I want to receive. I just want to soften into my body and receive. And I think I said to him, I want you to give to me. And he was like, what do you mean by give? What would that look like for you? And so I explained to him what I was desiring and needing. He's like, okay, let's make a time for that. We'll do that at this time. And that my whole feminine just was like, oh, like he heard my request. He honored what I needed. And he's put time in to give that to me. And that was very, very difficult. Like my voice was shaking. I find it very hard to ask for what I want. But what I've also realized with the masculine is they want to solve your problem, but sometimes they don't know how. And if you can make it really, really clear and literally spell out, this is how you can solve my problem for me. This is how you can make me feel better. They go, oh, well, that's easy then. Great. And he felt like, I could see it in him. He felt so good about that, that he knew exactly now what he needed to do to solve my problem and alleviate my discomfort. And he was excited to do that. Like I could tell he was fully ready to show up for that because it was, he knew he was going to succeed. So men struggle with failure. A lot of them do. So it's really hard when a woman's upset and they want to fix it, but there's a high risk of failure because they could get it really, really wrong. But if you make it easy for them to succeed and you're like, here's what I'm feeling, here's what I'm needing, here's what would make me feel so much better, they're like, oh my God, I've got a step-by-step plan to make her happy. This is so easy. Of course I want to do it. because they just want to make you happy, 100%. Men, I promise you, without a doubt, men just want you to be happy. They feel like a success when their woman's happy. And so make it easy for him to make you happy. and so Jason's model of making me happy is to coach me, because he thinks in his mind that that is the most effective way to make me happy. And sometimes it helps. But if I can actually tell him, no, this is the most effective way to make me happy, then that's really easy for him. He wants a roadmap. Because as we know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. We're on different planets, and you've got to give him the guidebook to Venus and let him know how to make him happy, basically. We work a lot with that around that model in triggers and conflict in our relationship, which is the model of taking space to process emotion, owning what's come up for us, expressing that, expressing what we want and need from our partner to make us feel better, and getting into the perspective of the other person, understanding where the other person's coming from at all times, always trying to get into their shoes and expressing that as well. And yeah, that works really well for us in resolving conflict. And this kind of leads into as well around, you know, how to kind of deepen the connection and the love and the intimacy and the consciousness in your relationship. And this will tie into my piece on vulnerability. Like, vulnerability and the willingness to reveal your heart and your desires and your truth and your feelings is absolutely the key to creating the depth of intimacy and connection that you want in your relationship. And it was, I think that we've talked about this several times, I think, through this program, but you know, so that a lot of us as women have had fears around revealing and showing how we're feeling, revealing and showing whether we really care about someone, whether we like someone, revealing and showing and expressing what we need and what we're really feeling. But the more that we close our heart and have walls and barriers up, the more that we aren't in integrity by not really showing what we're truly feeling, the more disconnects we're creating in the relationship. And I know vulnerability is hard, and revealing how you're feeling is hard. But I think it's our work as women. And I was talking about this in a group coaching call yesterday for my mastermind. And I think I've talked about it with you before as well. You know, how do we know really how to kind of at what pace to be revealing what we're feeling, and whether we can trust that person to hold us in what we're feeling? We do it bit by bit. And that was one of the biggest things I practiced in the early days was, all right, I'm going to reveal a little bit here around how I'm feeling. I'm going to either reveal a little bit, you know, a time that something's upset me, I'm going to show that, or I'm going to show how much I'm enjoying spending time with this person, or I'm going to reveal my desire to see them. I'm going to reveal, that something triggered me. I might show that. I even was watching this woman, this female teacher, teaching about relationships. And she's like, if you're feeling jealous or insecure, like, show that and share that. It's okay to own that. I think sometimes we try to pretend we're not feeling what we're feeling. And I've just learned the more that you're honest about what you're feeling, not from a projector place, but from a place of like, hey, like, it's like putting a voice to your heart. Like, if you could literally just put like a loudspeaker on your heart, what would it say? that is so beautiful. And with the right person, it calls them into wanting to come closer to you, wanting to, it makes them feel closer to you. It makes them want to show up for you more. I've watched a few intervention things that John Wineland has done, where he has done a demonstration between masculine and feminine, and then he's done this exercise with the woman fully opening and revealing her heart, and it's like the man like rises into consciousness in the presence of that. And John will often ask the man, you know, how are you feeling? And he's like, I just want to like protect her, and I want to be more present with her. So the revealing of that evokes the consciousness and the presence that you're wanting. So, I mean, another thing John Wineland often teaches is give what you want to receive. And so often, like, we close down our heart and we put up walls and we don't want to let love flow out because we don't think the other person has earned it or deserves it. But the more, something I'm really, really noticing is when I want to close down to instead open up and express. And my tendency, and I wonder if we've talked about this a little bit, but my tendency is always if I'm emotional, I want to shut down and close. And so my work is to do the opposite, which is to express and open up and put words to what I'm feeling, even if I'm afraid it's not going to be understood. So that creates such a deeper depth in the relationship. And, you know, I think as well, like, when we want to be an independent, self-sufficient woman, we don't want to be imperfect. We don't want to be messy. We don't want to get it wrong. We don't want to say the wrong thing. We don't want to stumble our words. The vulnerability is again, just truth. It's like letting your truth come out, even if it is messy, even if it is inconvenient, even if it is all over the place. Because what's beautiful about vulnerability is not what you say. It's the feeling and the energy behind it. That makes that person really feel you. And, you know, the key to opening a man's heart is to opening your heart. And if we keep our heart closed, that's when we tend to attract partners whose hearts are closed as well. But, you know, as we talked about in our class, make sure you've got a beautiful fence around that heart and make sure you're really discerning. And as you're sharing different things, you're noticing how that person's responding and you're determining if they're a safe person, if they can hold you in their vulnerability, and if they're worthy of the preciousness of your heart. So my final little pieces here, what else have I got here that I want to dive into? Yeah, I've talked about that. I was going to talk a little bit around triggering and kind of conscious relationship. But if you're wanting a conscious relationship, and I think a lot of us are, maybe get clear in yourself around what that would look like and what would that look like for you to be the energy that invites in consciousness. How will you need to show up to create that really deep conscious connection between the two of you? Because remember, I've talked about, John Wineland teaches this a lot, that the masculine is the master of time and space and the feminine is the energy. It's the energy that guides what's going to happen in that time and space. We sort of create whatever the energy is of the moment. So they're the structure of the moment. They set the moment, and we are the energy in the moment. We are the movement inside the container. So do we want to, what energy do we want to be creating in that dynamic? If you're going to be coming into a conversation, coming into a date, coming into a moment, ask yourself, like, in order to create the experience I want to have here with this person, what energy do I need to bring? That's a really big one. But if I want to create an intimate moment here, a connected moment, a playful moment, a loving moment, a passionate moment, a deep moment, what energy do I need to bring? And we bring the energy through our body. So if I want to have a deep, open conversation with my partner, I don't want to show up like this, right? I want to be able to be in my body, heart open, soft face, and ready. And I want to have like love radiating through me, right? Or if you want to bring the playful energy, what does your body look like when it takes the shape and form of play? What does your body look like when it takes the shape and form of tenderness? What does your body look like when it takes the shape and form of surrender? It's much more, you know, surrender is much more open and sitting back and receptive. How does your body take the shape of love? how does your body take the shape of generosity? And so, yeah, John teaches a lot, like bringing through your body the energy that you want to create in that moment. And it doesn't mean the moment's going to go exactly how you want it to go, and it may not at all. But as the feminine, we are the energy, and we can create the dynamic of the relationship we want based on the energy we bring. So it's been really, really powerful for me to always be, it doesn't happen as much now, although it does, but it used to happen a lot when we weren't living together and I would know that we were going to have an evening together. I would really be feeling into, okay, what's the energy that I'm going to create in this evening for us? How am I going to greet him when he comes over? What is the lighting going to be like? What am I going to wear that will all convey the energy of the moment that I'm wanting to bring, that I'm wanting him to feel? You know, sometimes I might be bringing quite a sensual energy. Other times, yeah, it's a more fun, lighthearted energy. Other times it's a really intimate energy. Other times it's like a quite a sensitive, emotional. But that's, yeah, we have the ability to infuse that by bringing that through our body. It's our body. So that's why embodying the qualities that will help bring out in our partner what we're wanting is our work as women, is being able to get that energy moving through our body. So on a final kind of note, if you're in the process at any stage or now of wanting to manifest and call in and attract a partner, obviously we've talked about a few things. I would begin with how you want to feel in the dynamic with this person. What feelings and qualities do you want to have being activated in you, but you know, being in the presence of this person? Do you want to feel safe? Do you want to feel seen? Do you want to feel acknowledged? Do you want to feel loved? Do you want to feel like devotion? Do you want to feel their commitment? Do you want to feel secure? Do you want to feel nurtured? Do you want to feel supported to expand? Do you want to, like, how do you want to feel? And that will be a beautiful guide for you as you're meeting people and knowing if those things are getting activated for you. And also, any of those qualities you're wanting to feel in that dynamic, you begin working on in yourself. So I knew that I wanted a partner that made me feel really, where I felt really feminine, or I felt soft, where I felt like there was a lot of receiving. That was big for me, because when I was like with guys that were kind of all over the place, I often had to take the masculine leadership role of like, hey, so like, when are we seeing each other? And I'd initiate messages and I'd be like, hey, so what's going on with us? You know, I was always having to put my energy out, and I just wanted to receive. I just wanted to be able to receive and flow and surrender and have someone lead and guide our dynamic. And so I had to learn how to drop into a more receiving energy just in my life all the time, how to soften, how to take more of the body posture of being receptive rather than kind of the leader and the hunter and the doer, which, you know, I am in my work. I had to be able to take more of the energy and the posture of receiving and of flow and of softness. And I wanted a heart connection in my relationship, because I hadn't had that in 6 years. So I had to ensure I was really activating my heart and working on releasing a lot of the heart armor that we talked about. I practiced vulnerability more with my friends, with my family, with my community, with myself, before I had the opportunity to practice it in a relationship. I worked a lot on coming into my body, because I wanted to be able to stay really in my body with a man, not be in my head. Because I know, like, when I'm in my head with my partner, it's great. We have great conversations, but I don't feel that like juicy nourishment that I love to feel. So I knew I had to spend more time getting into my body. And that was part of my work. I did a lot of prep work in the lead up to meeting my partner now and into the calling in the relationship, around studying masculine feminine principles, coming deeper into my body and my feminine. As I think I've said before, I worked with imagining receiving his energy. So I used to really struggle with being very seen by the masculine, very witnessed. So I think I told you guys, I would imagine his energy. I didn't know what he was going to look like, but the energy of the masculine sitting in front of me, and I would meditate with his energy and imagine my whole body opening to receive his presence, his attention, his gaze, his energy on me. As I used to go on dates with men, and this even happened on my first date with him, and I would get so uncomfortable when a man would just like look at me, you know, and really see me. And I would squirm and my body would tense. So I had to do a lot of work on feeling safe to receive that energy. I would, you know, I played a lot in my imagination around different things that we would do together, how we'd spend our time, what it would feel like to have him in my life. You know, if you're, like I said, if you're anytime you're interacting with the masculine, you have a chance to be playing in your own feminine and just observing how you respond to the masculine in general in your life, and the different qualities you want to play with, and then noticing what that evokes in the masculine in your life. I also did a lot of work around my wounding, and this was, you know, if you want to revisit any of our classes, class one was a really big one for us on that, revisiting any of our wounding around the masculine, any of the places that we still have pain or anger or resentment or mistrust, and also healing wounds around the feminine. So anything that was stopping me feeling completely safe to come into my feminine energy. So I did a lot of healing work around that just by becoming aware of it and unpacking that and working with my inner child and doing forgiveness work with my parents. Another thing I also did was I began to really look at my friends who are in relationships, and I celebrated what I saw in their relationship. So rather than being jealous, which is easy for it to happen, I would be like, oh my God, there is an incredible example of exactly what I want. Look at their dynamic. Look at the woman she is. Look at that guy. Here is proof that these guys exist. And we need to be confirming that to ourselves. Look at all of this proof that relationships are possible. I am proof that relationship after being single for a long time is possible. Wanting it for 6 years, I promise you, it was a really long time wanting it and not getting it. You need to find a lot of examples and celebrate every single time you see someone that you know falling in love, falling pregnant, getting engaged, something beautiful that happens in their relationship. Use that as proof that what you want is possible, because if someone else can manifest it, you can manifest it, I promise you. Pay a lot of attention to your intuition. Be asking your intuition. I would journal with my intuition a lot and be like, what do I need to know? What work do I still need to do to call him in? Is there any steps for me to take? Should I be on the apps? Should I not? I remember even I just began opening up to any invitation that involved spending time with the masculine. So I remember getting invited to a lunch that was with my friend's brother and this other random guy. And it was nothing romantic at all, but it was this invitation to come and spend time with these men that I'd never met. And I was like, this is a great opportunity just to come and like play in the space of meeting a new man and feeling into new masculine energy. And that was a manifestation in itself. So I just opened up a lot more to any opportunity to spend time with the masculine, and followed intuitive impulses. So if I was like, even sometimes I was like, my intuition was like, go work in a co-working space today. And I would sit in this co-working space all day and notice all these men around me. And I was like, oh, this is a nice thing to soak this up. And so your intuition will always just be giving you little steps that may not make sense. But if you follow them, you have to trust it's leading you to where you need to go, and you've got to trust the divine timing of it as well. And look, sometimes I know for me, with him, if we'd met even a few months earlier, I don't think our relationship would have worked. If he'd met me 2 months earlier, if I'd met him 2 months earlier, I know where I was at and I know where he was at only a few months before we met, it wouldn't have been the right time. It just wouldn't have, I don't know if it would have worked. So really trust that if things are getting delayed, sometimes it's because the person you're meant to meet is on a bit of a journey in themselves, and they're on the process of preparing for you, and you're on the process of preparing for them. And was that what was that analogy? Was it you, Stefania, who shared, I can't remember, I think it was knowing that you're both walking into the same destination. I love that. Beautiful. And so that's knowing that we're each on our journeys and we're going to come together at the exact right time. We just have to trust that timing. But I think there was a lot in there, but I think they were the main things that supported me when I was wanting to call him in. And just a lot in the early days, it was for me doing my best to stay really open and focus more on the qualities that he did have rather than the ones that I felt that he didn't, and allowing the relationship just to unfold. Because I think some people have that, you read about it and see it, people have that instant, like, oh my God, the minute I met them, I knew they were the one. And that's wonderful. Like, you might have that, and some people do have that, but not everyone does. And what I have noticed is our relationship has evolved more into what I wanted over time. When we came together, we were very, very different and maybe weren't what each other exactly were looking for. But the more that we've come into this relationship, I think we both step back and we're like, oh my God, we're like totally becoming like what we've wanted. Or we're becoming even better for each other. But that's taken time. That wasn't there right from the get-go. So everybody's journey around relationship is different. And I think we've just got to make sure we don't compare to how it looks for someone else, but to really just keep trusting our intuition and how it's feeling and unfolding for us uniquely. So let me just see if there's anything I haven't covered. I think that's, I'm going to take myself off. Seeing you're here with me, Stefania, let's have a little pumpkin video. Let me know, love. Is there any questions you have on that? Anything? Oh, someone, they've got a... Oh, Charlotte, so they have to go to a meeting, but that was helpful. I'll listen to the rest of the replay. Oh, I didn't know Charlotte was here. I had my notes up. has anything come up for you through that? Do you have any questions, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, that was... It was very... I'm going to have to, like, re-listen.
No, there was a lot there.
Good. I think I have two things I'd like to hear your thoughts on. So the first thing is around... As we're obviously going through this journey of being single and, we're doing deep work on ourselves, and there's a lot of ideas around you're bringing in experiences kind of based on where you are. Mm-hmm. And so it can be, I guess, quite hard when you bring something in that then doesn't necessarily work out. And then, I guess, so as a quick example, I came back to Seattle just now, and I had this instinct to come back to Seattle, and I matched with this guy who was in Seattle, and he was like totally leading the conversation, and he also doesn't want to like stay in Seattle long term, and there's just like a lot of flow in the conversation. And I was like, oh, interesting. Like, okay, maybe I'll just date this person while I'm in Seattle for a bit. Who knows what will happen? And then just like he just kind of got distant and kind of just stopped being as responsive. And a big part of me was like, oh wow, it must be because like now I'm back with my family and my energy is like not the free flowing energy that I felt when I was in New York and being independent. And I feel myself being like really putting almost too much control, where it's like I think that, oh, I'm the one that's like energetically pushing these things away the moment they don't work out. And so I'm just curious how you would like see things coming in and not then go straight to that self-blame of I must be pushing this away again, but instead just kind of seeing, I don't know, maybe more as a learning experience, or as, I don't even know. Does that question make sense?
Yeah, I had a lot of those experiences actually, like particularly on dating apps and all those different things. Because I guess there's a lot of different ways you can look at it. I mean, we definitely don't want to do self-blame, even though that can be the tendency of like, oh, what's off in my energy that has meant that this person, like we kind of call it in and then, yeah, and then it kind of falls apart. It doesn't eventuate. Well, I definitely feel one, that's a clear indication it's not the right person. So you'll always know that if something falls away, it's just because it's meant to fall away. But if you were to say, if you were just to reflect on, regardless of what just happened, what was the value in that experience for you, or what did you learn or gain from that experience, just from the small interactions?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that I gained from it was I wasn't expecting, it's been hard for me to imagine dating someone during coronavirus because it's very hard to meet people. And then B, when I first decided to come back to Seattle, I kind of had this idea of like, well, great, like now I'm definitely not going to date anyone because I don't want to stay in Seattle and I don't want to meet anyone here. And then matching with him, like the only, he messaged me and I matched with him like the first day I got here, and he, on his profile and like from what we talked about was like exactly what I was looking for. And so I guess it just kind of showed me like, wow, like if the universe wants to, it will drop in. Like it almost gave me this faith of like, look, like when it's time, we'll just drop it in. Like you don't need to know how it's going to happen. It's not your, like this, it almost feels like maybe it was a sign for me where it's like, it will happen when it happens. Maybe it's not time just yet, but like this was for you to see that like we will drop it in the most unexpected place and time, but you need to believe. But then, and I did believe it like that for a little bit, but then a part of me too is like, oh well, okay, so does that mean that I'm not ready yet? Which I get, there's always more work to do, but a part of me just felt like, or is it that, I don't know, just part of it all, the other part of me went to this like self, not almost hate mode, but just like, okay, well, like overly obsessed, like what do I need to fix about myself mode.
Okay. I guess the thing that's going to be the most powerful as you're navigating all of that, because this is going to happen, we know people kind of do flake on these apps and things like that, is what you make it mean. And we can create any meaning out of it. And one meaning could be, because I did something wrong, or something was out of alignment in my energy, or maybe I said the wrong thing, or I messed something up, for example, and it was my fault, the reason that this fell away. Or we can just make it mean, okay, this just popped in as a little small manifestation to show me what's possible. That was the purpose of this. The purpose of this was to just almost encourage me to keep opening up to the dating apps in Seattle, because there is the possibility of meeting someone really cool on there.
Yeah.
This was an example of that. And there's so much trust and surrender needed around, okay, if something falls away for whatever reason, that was meant to fall away, even though it's really hard when you're like, I've hardly met anyone good and this person seems so good. But that's part of the, you know, our tendency in relationships, sometimes as women, is this kind of tendency. Like we kind of want to be like, oh, what happened? Like, come back, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas we lean back instead. We lean back and we're like, okay, I'm going to let that go. That will either come back to me. It will come back to me because it's meant to, or I let it go and I trust. And I say, universe, next. Bring the next one.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. That resonates a lot. And it's just nice to hear someone else like kind of reflect that back as well. My second question is kind of around, so your perspective on like the initial dating and in those like early stages, right? And so a lot of guys that I have gone on dates with, because I'm also very much like, I want the guy to take the lead and I want the guy, and I love it if a guy will text the next day and be like, had a great time, and just kind of takes that initiative to confirm the date and all these things. And I have some friends who kind of will challenge me on some of those perspectives, like stuff like you shouldn't expect the guy to do all the work. Like even I'll have guy friends be like, yeah, it's great when a girl texts me and like doesn't make me like do all of this, blah, blah, blah. So like with this particular guy, for example, he was doing a lot of the work at the beginning and then he just kind of stopped for who knows whatever reason. So then I kind of was like, okay, like, we had made plans to have a FaceTime date. So I'm the one that kind of reinitiated the FaceTime date. He had an initiative. I was like, okay, well, so what time do you want to do it today? And then we ended up having the FaceTime date. And I guess it's on one hand, I'm glad I did it because I wanted to follow through on it, because I had committed that I had said yes to the date. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, it kind of frustrated me that he didn't, after asking me for the FaceTime date, follow up that morning, be like, hey, what time would work for you? Mm-hmm. But also, I have friends who are in really great relationships right now, and they do have a really great masculine feminine dynamic between each other, but it didn't necessarily start off with a masculine feminine dynamic between them. She did pursue him a bit more. And so I guess I'm just curious. It's like, and I guess for me, like I was thinking about this a lot today, it's like, I want to treat people in dating the way that I would want to be treated. So if someone commits to a date, like if I commit to a date, I want to follow up on that, regardless if he's a follow-up or not. But then I'm also worried that if I'm not allowing for that feminine feminine masculine dynamic from the beginning, that I'm going to end up with someone who isn't, I mean, I guess at some point I would kind of stop seeing that person, but like, am I setting myself up for failure by not entertaining that from the beginning, if that makes sense?
Yeah. I think it's such a difficult one. These early days are such a dance, because I don't think it means you have to be really passive.
I feel like it's so hard with like the pandemic and the riots happening right now, and like online dating, so much that's like, I don't know, you know?
Yeah, and I think as well that the difficulty with online dating at the moment is like, men have become a little bit lazy and can be a bit lazy. Not all men are these like, you know, going to take all this lead. I mean, Jason was still a little bit lazy in some ways and wasn't all fully this big chivalrous leadership, you know. And I don't think there's anything wrong with us initiating or reaching out. But I think I always pay attention to like the feeling in the energy. Like if I initiate or if I reach out, do I feel like their energy comes back and then kind of leads, or do I feel like it's kind of me, which was a little bit like a chase? If you put an energy out and then the energy doesn't come back, that's something I always pay attention to. Or if I feel like it's a really, really delicate thing. I think it's also part of our job as women is to be expressing what we need and expressing how we're feeling. So even like, I really loved that chat, it'd be great to do it again sometime, or I actually watch a few YouTube channels that give you kind of the language to use, because I'm not perfect at knowing sometimes the best way to approach these things when a man isn't fully stepping in to his leadership. So I can even post a couple of resources in the group of people that I've watched that have kind of been like, how do you navigate that? But I wouldn't worry. I mean, you can always correct the balance of your masculine and feminine kind of as you're going, even if it's a bit clunky at the beginning because you both don't know each other.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, because I think also almost with online dating, because I still haven't met this person in person yet. We might end up meeting, I'm not sure yet. But even I almost feel like when you haven't met the person in person, it's really hard to play out these dynamics, because until you just see someone's body, smell them, get the feel for them, it's almost like it's still a fake person behind the screen, like you just don't know yet. And so in those cases I find myself taking on just like a very off, it's like kind of I tend to be someone who's very just like straightforward, no games. But then when I am in person with someone who I like and have feelings for, I am much more feminine. But that's not necessarily my persona on the apps, because the apps, it's like, just to get someone to meet you in person these days, I feel like you do need to be a bit like, okay, let's meet now, like we said we're gonna meet, like I like, are you gonna meet me? But then it's like, I guess maybe at that point is the point where you can feel for his natural masculine and see if that's the type of masculinity you want to bring into your life or continue to work with. Yeah. And start to feel through the dynamics a bit more almost.
Yeah, that's even interesting, because I would almost wonder if you weren't, for example, to step in and say, so when are we going to meet, if it was actually waiting to see if a man was going to say that to you.
Yeah.
And I know sometimes it's like, will he ever?
And I think it's interesting because with guys who I'm not necessarily interested in, that's actually interesting. With guys who I'm not as interested in, I let them take the leadership role more, because I'm less, like, if they don't end up asking me, I don't care. Whereas if it's someone I'm interested in, I kind of take on a bit more control.
Yep.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then, like, I'm more, there's an element of fear that I just want us to get to the place of meeting in person so we can then play it out. But it's like, I take on that masculine energy a bit more.
Yeah. And I think that's what you identified is really powerful, because that's what I noticed. Sometimes there's a little bit of a fear energy behind it of, will this actually happen? Will this eventuate? Will I meet them? Will I get a chance to show them what I'm like? And that,
yeah, exactly.
pulls us into an action that's not the action we actually really want to be. It's not the space we want to be in.
Yeah.
So what's different about you in the energy you embody and the way you approach the masculine when you're kind of detached, don't really care anyway, and you're going to let him lead it versus when a little bit of fear is there and you want the day?
I think there's just so much more like, just like, yeah, it's just more relaxed somehow. It's just more jokes and funny and just like, not really needing to commit to anything versus if it's someone that I'm more curious to meet in person, it becomes a bit more, it becomes more like certain, like it just more heavy, which isn't actually even my natural. I tend to be quite relaxed anyway with even friends. Like I tend to be quite like I do try to follow through my commitments. So if I do say to a friend, like, let's talk on this day or whatever, like I'll usually message my friend that day to like follow up, either to commit to it or cancel it if I can't do it anymore. And I think like partially though with this particular person, I'm interested to meet him because I find him interesting and I don't find a lot of people I meet online interesting. And because he hasn't followed up, I'm thinking, okay, well, I don't mind. Maybe I am just a little bit more interested in him right now than he is in me. And so I don't mind showing that right now. And obviously, if I was going to seriously see this person at some point in like 5 months in, I'm like planning everything, like that's not going to be interesting to me. But until I can get a feel for what I'm actually feeling, I don't necessarily mind. But I don't know if that's like, if that would actually lead to an interesting dynamic or if that's my fear playing out. Like, I don't know if that's me being vulnerable or that's my fear coming out. And like,
I think there's just definitely something in the energy that when you say the energy that feels most natural to you, the energy that you find comes out when you feel just really relaxed and really like there's no need, there's no attachment, there's no fear-driven energy there. I know it's subtle and I've even noticed this as well. I used to justify it as, oh, but I just want to express how I'm feeling and I don't want to hide that and I want to be vulnerable and I want to be real. But it's really subtle sometimes, actually, the energy that's driving that.
Yeah.
And I think the practice might be for you maybe just to be pausing and really breathing into, okay, where is the feeling of that woman that I am in these dynamics where it's really flowy and I just receive and they just lead?
Yeah.
Am I in her energy in my body right now? What do I need to shift into her energy and let her inspire the action?
Yeah. Yeah. That's really interesting way to think.
Subtle.
Yeah.
But that's definitely, yeah. I remember this with guys. I always thought I was like, oh, I just want to share with them that I want to see them. But I was taking control. Trust their leadership. And so I stepped in to lead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's weird because, yeah, if it's a guy that I'm not so interested in, then I do find that their leadership is a bit more. Or if it's someone I'm interested in, I mean, or if it's a guy, like I had a situation, they just kind of filter off and I just like let them go. Whereas this time, I guess I was more interested to meet them. So that's why I kind of then took on a slight pursuer. But to be honest, it doesn't feel good to me. Like it's not feeling good to me. Yeah. And it's also attractive. Like it doesn't make me feel attracted either. But at this point, more of like a, it's almost like a, it's like a commitment to just making online dating better because it frustrates me when people do this where they're like they ask you out but then they just don't follow up with it. And it's almost like I'm trying to like just be the best example, but also it's like what's the point if someone else is not putting that work in? Like it doesn't make sense to
But as you so beautifully said, as much as your head sort of says it's the right thing to do, you just in your body it doesn't feel that good.
Yeah. And yeah, it doesn't turn me on. It doesn't make me attractive. It's just kind of like, okay, well, what's the point, you know? So
beautiful. So they're great questions to ask. Okay, does this turn me on? Does this make me feel attractive? Does this make me feel like I'm in my feminine? Does this make me feel like radiant and magnetic? Does this make me soft and receptive? And maybe actually a sort of feeling into the energy behind the action before you go to take it and the state that you're in. And, you know, I think this is, I can hear him now in the kitchen, so I don't want to talk too loud, but like when we first started dating, like I wasn't super interested. And that energy was what allowed him to pursue me so much, because I was so aloof, like I didn't care. I was like, oh yeah, cool, whatever. And I remember after our first date, and he scheduled our next date, and then he's like, let's hang out on Wednesday. And I was busy, and I was like, no, I'm not free today, sorry. And he's like, okay, well, Thursday, like, because I was kind of unavailable and I was kind of uninterested, and there was something really attractive about that, you know. It's like, oh, I don't know, is she into me, is she not? And so he hunted more, you know. And so sometimes, yeah, it's a little bit of a game at the start, which makes it hard, because we're like, I just want to be real and honest about how I'm feeling. It's just a little bit of an energy game at the start.
Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. But I think those were my two main questions. I'm trying to think if there's anything.
Good questions.
It's just interesting to, as you're on this journey of bringing someone in, it's like just the keeping the faith bit, you know, and that's the part that I sometimes struggle with, where I'll have weeks where I'm fine, and then I'll have like a few days that are just like where you just feel so stuck, and energy just feels like it just feels like very much not possible. And I think that's the piece I'm trying to have, fewer days like that where I get stuck in those mindsets of, it's like the world just kind of turns darker and you just start seeing not good examples of it happening.
But even I think what you experienced just with that guy on the app now, like it almost shows you, like let's say something did eventuate with you two, it can literally be like yesterday he wasn't here, today he's here. Like it happens yeah, so quick.
But that's when I think about it in a positive way, that's the main thing that came out of his experience, which was in the place that I never expected to meet anyone who aligned with me, during a time when I'm not even expecting to meet anyone, like this person just like appeared. And although it seems to not really be turning into anything, it just showed me again how it's like, we don't have to control those outcomes if we're just focusing on ourselves and being in the energy we want to be in. Like, they will just drop in. Like, it might take me 5 years, but then one day the person's just going to drop in, you know? So, yeah.
Literally drop out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what's so cool about it. So yeah, it's definitely hard when you can't see when or how that's going to happen. But yeah, it's all the work you're doing now, and it's reminding yourself literally like, I could meet him tomorrow and we could just be on.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm really proud of you and all the work you're doing. I mean, I obviously relate and resonate so much, and I know there's a lot to navigate in these early days, but I think this little kind of energy shift playing around with this in the dating thing, I think could be a fun thing for you to explore and could bring out some different experiences too.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I'm going to, even with this person now, like I think I'm just going to fall back into that receiving mode, because that's what feels most natural to me. And whatever happens with it happens, because it's just, yeah, it's what feels natural.
Beautiful.
Or like attractive in the dynamic.
Yep. Beautiful. All right, love. Thank you for your
The
question's good. Kind of like, yeah, fleshed out a few things that I'm sure people are feeling into. I can put it in the group, but I think the people that I find really useful and interesting for like dating stuff, like, do you follow Matthew Hussey?
No.
Oh, I'll post these people. These are just like in the early days of dating, they just give really good like tips around how to navigate different things. Another woman is Rory Ray. She's awesome. Don't become awesome. And then this other woman that I just come across on Facebook. So I'll post their links in the group, and they're just really good resources for like how to navigate things if someone flakes, or like what to say if someone lets you down. They're just good people for giving you practical stuff on that.
That'd be great.
I'll post that in the group for you.
Perfect.
Thank you, love. Thank you for all your questions, and thank you for your participation to the group. It's been so beautiful working with you over the past few months.
It's been an incredible course. I'm so happy we did it during this time. It's been incredible.
Perfect. Awesome.
Yeah. All right, Connie.
Sunday, and I'll talk to you soon, yeah?
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.